Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, our Friday show as opposed to the Sunday AM show. And content's relatively the same, and essentially we are striving to help you become a more savvy taxpayer. We like planners as opposed to simply reporters. Everybody has to report. But those that are receptive to planning will find that they typically can build wealth faster by deploying the tax savings, or what I call tax leverage, that we get from taking advantage of the tax code. And I'll tell you right now, if you're a small business person, a consultant, another accountant, a lawyer, a dentist, you know, just go down the list. Small business owner with maybe a retail operation, or whatever it is you do that involves self-employment as opposed to a W-2, you probably are overpaying your taxes. And if you would have a planner like our firm take a look, we can give you some idea of where and how we can take advantage of the tax code to save you some money. And I would be surprised. Occasionally we see self-employed folks that maybe just don't have the attributes that we expect to see that would allow us to generate tax savings. But it's rare. There's several hot areas that we can almost routinely count on. But in any event, if you would like to have us take a look at your situation without charge, and for that matter, you don't just have to be a small business person. If you're an investor and you want to provide us with copies of your tax returns, we'll give you a Smart Vault encrypted document management portal account and have you upload those documents, and we'll take a look at them, and without charge we will tell you how we might sync up with your goals and objectives. Speaking of, if you hear us discuss things today that you like, or you think you like, think you'd like to partake of, whether it's a tax strategy or maybe it's a real estate private partnership type investment, or maybe just in general you're interested in those items, we would suggest first you connect with your current advisors who are familiar already with your facts and circumstances and can tell you whether what you heard is correct, and opine on other fronts regarding said strategies or said investment types. But if you don't have anybody that understands the creatures that we deal in, feel free to connect with us. You can go to the BAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And you'll see that top right there on the navigation bar, you've got a forms link. And you've got a cost scheduler link. And if you will fill out at least the first step on our forms, we will be happy to spend some time on the phone with you to help you understand how we might be able to work with you to, again, meet your goals and objectives. And, you know, our typical client is behind on retirement wealth. They've got to catch up, and they've listened to either us or someone else talk about the longevity risk that we all have now. We've got the two major risks in survey after survey is longevity, meaning our life expectancy is now in the mid-80s for most males, and it's in the high 80s for most females. And so if you thought $1 million in your 401 or your IRA was going to cover you for retirement, you might want to rethink that, because it likely will not. And if you have a catastrophic health event, it won't even come close in most cases. And so I would tell you that $3.5 million maybe, all of the things coming out to your favor, would be where you're really self-insured versus $1 million, $1.5 million. And, you know, I always ask people, well, how much do you have in retirement funds? And, of course, quite a few will respond, well, you know, I've got $1 million, $1.5 million. And I say, is that in a Roth or is that in pre-tax? And for those of you that don't know, Roth accounts typically mean that you can withdraw money that's not subject to being taxed. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't have money in a Roth, you don't have the $1 million or $1.5 million that you think you do. And why? Because you've got a partner. And most people don't know what percentage ownership their partner has. That would be the IRS, by the way. And when you look at where tax rates are headed, probably by the year 2029 and 30 for certain, they're going to change a little bit, it looks like, around January 1, 2026, when the Trump Tax Act reverts to the same brackets that we had pre the 2017 Tax Cuts Jobs Act. And the differences in the rates aren't all that extreme, but with half as many brackets, roughly, you may find that you're at the wrong end of a bracket where your income is reported, and it can cost you some money. And then you look at how much discretionary budget we still have remaining each year, the tax money we collect, and it's not much, and it will be gone by 2029 or 30, just depending on how fast we get there. And if you want to see some startling up to the second news, you can go to our companion site, the BAPlannerShow.com site. And unfortunately, I ran out of time today to get some articles, very many articles, out to the resource page. But I've got one that was in the Wall Street Journal. Let's see, was it yesterday? It was on the 12th, so I believe that's yesterday, even here in Southeast Asia, where I'm at. But in any event, the title is This Inflation Report Won't Let the Fed Declare Victory. And there's some mention about some of the budgetary constraints. This will be a good introduction to that topic for you. And then if you'll go back to some earlier articles last week, look at the second article on the list. The only one newer is the one I put up today, but it's an article on the 28th that says the data prove government is spending too much, as if we didn't know that. But this actually puts numbers to it. Looks at the period between 2013-2022, and then I believe that's the article that, let me see, maybe it's the one down under that that talks about why deficits really matter. But there's, I think CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has revisited where we'll be for the period of 2024 to 2033, and it's unbelievable how fast the deficits rise. And when you figure we're spending $1 trillion a year now on interest, just the interest on the debt, is $1 trillion. It's not hard to understand why we're rapidly burning through the last part of the discretionary budget. It's just a matter of time. And so you've got all these factors converging. You've got a longevity risk. You've got to have more money available in retirement so you don't outlive your money. And that's bad news. We would like to have our money outlive us, right? Have something to pass on as a legacy, and more importantly, to pay the bills right up until we pass. And, you know, I don't know what your lifestyle is, but typically Social Security is not going to cover your lifestyle. And, you know, you have any kind of catastrophic health event or just plain old long-term health care, and you're going to realize again that somewhere you've got to come up with a lot more money than Social Security. I think most long-term health care facilities, and I'm not talking about the type that have a very strong urine smell when you walk in the front door. I'm talking about one that you get to pick, somewhat nicer, and most of those are going to run, you know, $9,000, maybe $10,000 for the nicer ones. And you know, if you have a long-term health care coverage already, great, but that's the most people, or a lot of people, I shouldn't say most, a lot of people are priced out of that market. And so, you know, you've got to find other avenues of income to set up, you know, your future at a point when you can no longer take care of yourself. And anyway, let's do this. Let's, well, I tell you what, hang on just a second. Let me see. I was going to take a look here. Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll be back momentarily with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we'll pick up on this concept of longevity risk, tax rate risk, inflation, and your retirement wealth. We'll be right back.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away,
big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, the Friday show. And we were just talking about some of the headwinds that we're faced with. It's not just inflation. I know that's gotten a lot of attention as of late. But, you know, we've got a longevity risk, those of us that are nearing retirement. And, you know, $1 million isn't what $1 million used to be. And $1 million is a lot. Don't kid yourself. And you really won't save your way to $1 million. You've got to earn it. You know, the only way to get $1 million is to make $1 million. And to the extent we can get some help along the way, get a little lift out of some investment types that generate above average investments historically, like real estate, which is what we like. There's a report out there that I believe it was the San Francisco Fed put out not too long ago. And in fact, I'll find that and add that to the resource section on our site, maybe before Sunday show. But in any event, it looked at stocks, bonds, and I think it was housing. I don't think it was specifically multifamily, which is what we like. But bottom line was housing was at the top, if not the top, on each of the metrics that they took apart or dissected in that article. And I would tell you that that's as credible a source. You may not like the noise and, you know, the constant sales pitch that you hear from quite a few folks that are in the real estate business, the quote gurus, the experts. You know, we've got more than our share of them here on this station, in fact. And I'll just tell you, they are masterful sales folks. You know, I'm just an accountant, okay? If you want to understand from a, I guess, a more technical instead of a more motivational aspect, you know, I can help you. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to denigrate you over, you know, going to your cubicle every day. Or assorted other things that you're doing wrong, which, you know, you probably already know what you're doing wrong in terms of not making enough money for retirement. But trust me, their motivation is not necessarily seeing you get enough money in your retirement accounts. You know, they're more singularly focused on their wealth. And you know, when you listen to those folks on the air and in person, you start to get a sense of that. And you know, you're probably already thinking, this can't be true, what I'm being told, you know, that I can retire in 2 to 5 years, et cetera. And I'll tell you right now, you can retire in 2 to 5 years, but not the way they're telling you you can. You can if you already have the $1 million. If you're one of those folks that says, hey, I've already got $1 million, great. Let's get it into the right private company real estate partnership syndications, and we'll get you, or I say we will, you'll get yourself, if you get in the right ones, we'll help by keeping the tax dollars in your pocket instead of you having to pay taxes to free them up, which is some more bad information you'll get if you listen to some of the quote gurus. And, you know, I'm often reminded of what Red Adair used to say about professionals, and his famous quote was, you know, if you think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I have watched people, you know, the prospects that would come to us later that had joined, you know, one or more of the local platforms and been told, oh, just go ahead and cash your money out. Show the man, you know, thumb your nose at the man. And you're going to make so much money, you won't worry about letting 30 or 40% of your family's net worth go to the IRS. That is insanity, to use one of their words that I hear bannered about often. It is insane to think that you would give away wealth that you could otherwise keep, you could otherwise control, and you could otherwise pay yourself from that wealth pool when you want to. And you'll hear everything explained exactly backwards than I just explained it. And again, it's amateur tax advice. The professionals know how you can do what I'm saying. It's just most of them don't dwell in this arena where they're helping you understand what you're signing up for with real estate private partnerships as well. But in any event, again, for those that plan on living a little, you know, you're looking at that age 85 hurdle and thinking, well, gee, I got that covered. You know, I've got clients that are in the early 90s now, and thankfully they had the foresight and the wherewithal. Some of them just went to their cubicle every day, shock, shock. And, you know, if you go to your cubicle in the right company and you enjoy what you're doing, you can turn around when you're 65 retirement age and have $2 or $3 million in your 401. And I understand that that isn't everybody's form of retiring and doing what you want to do. I get that. And so that's the challenge. The challenge is, for those of you that would like to start doing what you want to do every day when you wake up instead of going to an office, hey, you've got to find another income stream, and it's got to be significant. And I don't know of any others besides the world of real estate, particularly the passive investment model of investing in multifamily properties. I don't know of any other, quote, business that'll get you there faster. You know, it's not an oil and gas well, not with the consistency of an apartment building. And you'll notice that even in the commercial real estate space, what a lot of investors have become awakened to, they've been woke to the concept that you don't need an office necessarily to run a business. You know, the remote working phenomenon that sprung up during COVID is sticking with us a while. And boy, I tell you, you talk about sucking 60 to 70% of the equity out of office building valuations. It's crazy. I mean, these, you know, $200 million office towers that are selling for $80 million now. It's just unbelievable. And yet the apartment space, for the most part, you know, most people need a place to lay their head at night. They got to have a place to sleep. They may not need a place to go in and call their office, you know, if they're able to work at any internet connection. An office is kind of a not necessarily a specific term. It's more generic all of a sudden, right? It's not the same four walls at the same street address that gets you there. But in any event, so, you know, as you begin to realize that you don't have enough, and it takes a while, I understand if you're listening to the show today and you're saying, well, you know, Nathan doesn't really understand my situation. I've got plans, and maybe you do. I don't know, but I'll tell you, 85 years is a long time to have to keep paying the bills. And maybe you've got family, or maybe you've got annuities that are in, hopefully, A-rated insurance companies or banks, et cetera. And by the way, There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you right now, the insurance industry has actuaries that are the among the most savvy investors in the world. When's the last time a Class A or Grade A or A-rated, however you want to phrase it, insurance company went under? It hasn't happened in our lifetime. Came close. You know, AIG was close back in the debt malaise period, but hadn't happened. And I would tell you that having an annuity at a level that you're happy with what it generates, you don't need to go hit a grand slam in the apartment space. You might choose to diversify a bit, but I'll guarantee you, I don't know an apartment building that exists that is necessarily a stronger guarantee than an annuity with A-rated insurance companies. I'm not saying there's not some that are probably equal. I'm just saying you've got to get out of bed in the morning to fret and worry about the apartment space a little bit, although if you do it the way we like to see, where it's passive, and you've got perhaps, in my case, you've got younger people that are willing to get out of bed and do the heavy lifting. You know, the beauty about the passive model that we work with most of our clients on is that you don't have to find it, the apartment building. You don't have to acquire it. You don't have to go find the loan, the bank loan, or the loan from assorted lenders now that are in that space. You don't have to find the contractors to do the renovations. You don't have to do the work on finding tenants that are willing to pay your rates. And you don't have to find staff, et cetera. It's all potentially a passive role that you can play in these partnerships. It's wonderful for people that want to do what they enjoy. You can call it retirement. That's really what retirement is, right? It's doing what you want to do when you want to do it. And you don't have to be the one that does all the activity. That's something that a younger couple or individual can do. And you can participate at some level in some cases, but typically in most cases, you stay out of the kitchen. You let the chef do his thing or her thing, and you sit back and enjoy checks on some sort of frequency, provided the pro forma is achieved. That would be the projected returns that the syndicator provided you early on. Now, obviously, in today's world, with insurance premiums that have seen triple-fold increases over the past year or so, and property taxes that have gone through the roof, and interest rate adjustments, if you had a loan that didn't have an adequate rate lock, there may not be any money to pass out to the investors. You got to be really careful. And some of the best syndicators in the recent past have run into these headwinds, and they're not faring so well at the moment. And so you got to understand, I'm going to say it again, you have to understand what you're signing up for. You must read the deal documents. Contrary to one of the supposed wealth builders here in town that has one of the real estate mentor platforms, I heard him say on the air not long ago that you don't really need to read the deal doc stack, is what I call it, the private placement memorandum that has all the disclosures, the operating agreement that is the Bible for how the project will be operated. He said, you don't need to do that. Why do you need to do that? Why do you need to delay sending your money in to invest? He said, just pull the trigger. And, of course, that was before we had foreclosures on, I don't know, at least 4,000 units in the city of Houston, some major, major syndicators. And things didn't come out the way their assumption sets, their pro forma information wasn't very well thought out. And even the gentleman that made that comment has syndicators on his platform that have either had properties foreclosed on or the syndicator had to give the property back, or there's a couple of them that are going to have to do that, it looks like. They're in trouble. They don't have the ability to raise more capital, or at least it doesn't appear they do. And yet I've heard of no one mentioning any apologies for telling people they don't really need to pay attention at the financial pro forma information that's being made available at the outset. So anyway, so understanding what you're signing up for, and then once you've signed up and once you've pulled the trigger on investing, and my suggestion is, and again, this may run counter to what other accountants would tell you, I suggest you invest some of your pre-tax retirement dollars. And you could do post-tax or after-tax as well. If you've got some Roth money, that's fine. But let me explain why you would like to invest your pre-tax money, because you can convert some of those funds over to a Roth account. Don't have to sell the investment. You can do all this, quote, behind the scenes. We can relist those LLC interests that you may have in an IRA at the moment over to a self-directed 401 if you qualify. That's something we'll look at if you decide to fill out our intake forms at beaplanner.com, beaplanner.com. And if you'll fill those out, I'll be happy to show you the strategy that would allow you to sidestep the tax that's going to be due if you invest with your IRA and you generate income. And I don't mean cash flow. I mean taxable income, i.e. you sell the property for more than you pay for it, your partnership that you're in. And a lot of people are shocked to come to learn that you will pay tax. Your IRA will pay tax in that circumstance. The self-directed 401 is exempt from what we call the UDFI tax, the unrelated debt finance income tax. Most people are not aware that even a Roth IRA pays that tax. And so you're better off if you can qualify to have a self-directed 401 trust where we can roll the IRA holdings into the 401, pay no tax, and then be in a position where once you sell or the partnership sells, you're not having to pay that tax. I've had clients come to us where they heard the sound of my voice on this topic after they had been advised by their lead partner that they were going to, or they had a contract for sale, or maybe they had already sold it earlier in the year and they were trying to figure out, well, how do we avoid paying the tax on that? And unfortunately, once the deed is done, once the property closes, no way to do that. And I know we had one client that owed over $200,000. I mean, that's a good news or bad news, good news scenario, I guess, because if you owed $200,000, that means you probably had at least $400,000 left over. But I think you'd probably prefer to have the whole $600,000. And that's what will help you understand. And even if you say, well, you know, I don't qualify, Nathan, I don't have any self-employment income, and we're convinced that there's no way you can avail yourself of some, I would tell you that the other strategy is for us to try to match the years that you have gains from a sale with your reinvesting some or all of those proceeds into a new transaction that will generate some significant write-offs and at least moderate or help mitigate some of that tax. So anyway, let's go ahead and take our last break. When we come back, I'll try to kind of circle back and tie the multiple side tangents I've gone down so far, and hopefully give you a clean understanding of what you might want to consider. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
No matter how much I lost, grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I'm gonna be rich no matter how much it costs. I'm gonna win no matter how much I lost, but I hope that you tell me, well done my child, you've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been discussing a range of topics that I guess I like to explain it as the planets having aligned for how to really take advantage of real estate private partnership syndications, typically involving multifamily apartments. Now, you know, you can find syndications out there for healthcare facilities, for retail, for industrial parks, for self-storage. I mean, almost every segment of real estate has opportunities where you can invest with a group of other individual investors. And, you know, the ability to provide a fractional investment, it does more than removing liability and day-to-day maintenance on your part. You know, the ability for you to acquire an interest in an asset without being personally liable for the debt, you think about it, that's huge. And the ability to have that lender pay you a disproportionate share of the investment that they put up. I mean, when you think about it, even now where we've got lower loan-to-value ratios than we had, say, a year or two ago. Used to, we could count on 80% of the acquisition being funded by a lender. But even in today's world, where it's dropped down to, I don't know, we see anywhere from 50 to maybe, I think we just had a deal that went up as high as 69 or 70%. And, but you know, when you're paying, even at today's interest rates, let's assume you're paying 6.5 or 7%, but for you to be able to pay, let's just call it 7% on the debt. And when you look at that piece, a similar piece of the profit or the cash flow, let's call it 60%, that's an amazing disparity in my mind, where we're getting to put that money in our collective investor pockets. I'm talking about the difference between the 7% that you're paying in interest on a mortgage and the cash flow related to a 60%, what would be, well, let's just call it capital provider, okay? The bank's putting the capital up, and they're willing to forego that, what is that, 53% roughly of the cream that comes in off that investment. That's remarkable. And it was even more remarkable when it was 80% and the cost was maybe 3.5% or 3% on the mortgage. But, you know, those days may come back at some point. I know, you know, we had the 2008-10 time frame, and we thought we would never see some of the real estate products and loan products that existed that caused problems back in the day. And, well, sure enough, looks like they've come through again. How many three-year bridge loans have we seen in the past two or three years, with 2 1-year extensions with variable rates? It's in large measure part of the problem we've got right now with syndicators that have had to hand properties back, is they just weren't prepared for the Fed to go through, what is it, 11 rate bumps currently? That's a lot of change. And when you're looking at interest rates that may have scaled from, I don't know, 4.5% to 6.5%, 7%, that's a big deal. And not only is it a big deal from just the perspective of making a mortgage payment, what does that do to your exit? When you've been working off a pro forma that showed a exit cap rate at a 4.5% level or 5%, and now it looks like it's likely to be in the 6.5 to 7.5% range and probably going higher, do you have any idea what the sensitivity analysis looks like on a 3% or even a 2% change? It means you're not getting any money back. There's no gain to come back. You'll be lucky, you'll be happy to get your principal back. So, again, why do I make a big deal out of, quote, you don't need to look at your doc's mentor, you know, here in Houston? Because you do need to look at your docs. You do need to understand what's going to happen. And you do need to assume that in a worst-case scenario, you don't get your money back. And what's the syndicator going to do in those cases? Are they obligated to do anything, or does your operating agreement indemnify them, as most do? Most syndicators don't count on trying to recover or to pay any of the other assets they might have to put back in the pocket of the passive investor. Maybe it was their retirement money. And when you understand that, you begin to understand why Nathan constantly is railing against syndicators that are taking money out up front in the form of some of the most egregious fees you've ever seen. I mean, it's common these days to see transactions that have, well, they fall in two camps, it seems like, two extremes. Either we have syndicators that are grabbing for all available cash on day zero, which is when they're walking out of closing. They've got a a 2% acquisition fee on a, I don't know, $50 million transaction, you can do the math. What is that, $1 million? They may have a 2% debt placement fee. They may, on a, you know, $20 million loan, they may have a capital raise fee on $10 to $12, $15 million. They've got construction management fees. They're going to take a refinance fee. And then on the back end, they're going to take a disposition fee. But the point is, most of it is taken up front. And then you've got the other camp, which talks about how righteous or moral their model is. And I would suggest to you, it's no more righteous or moral. They're wanting you to think that because they know that most people they're pitching that to are fresh off the farm, so to speak, where they don't understand syndications. These are usually explained at your first major workshop that you'll attend, your first two-day, it's called by one of the groups here in town. And what they're not explaining to you is that a lot of the syndicators that have the egregious fees, they don't take any of their promote or their override money until they've either gotten your money back, your investment, or they've gotten you a fairly high internal rate of return. But the point is, they're not participating in the interim cash flows in many cases that occur over the life of the project. And so the guys that like to say they're the good guys, they lose sight of that. They don't really want you to understand that, oh, their guys are participating from day one. They're guys and gals. Let's give credit where credit's due, where they're taking anywhere from a 5 to a 20% override right from day one. You know, if there's any distributions being made, they're getting their 5 to 20% chunk and right on through the transaction. Now, truthfully, as they get to the end, your money has to be returned to you before they're going to get their big payout at the end where they're sharing in that gain. So I don't know. You give me the pro forma numbers on both transactions that are being looked at under each of the two models, and I'll tell you which one's more righteous. And then it's a matter of hoping the pro forma data checks out. But I can tell you this, I don't know of a syndicator yet that's offering to put money back that they took out, whether they took it as part of their promote that they were given for leading the transaction, their override, or whether they were taking an overt, egregious fee. And the bottom line for me is I don't care about the fees. I care about the timing. And if you're taking money out before you've earned it, I don't care how you're doing it. It's wrong. And if I am advising a client, we will give you questions and information to find out what the answers are going to look like in the event certain things happen. I myself invest in these transactions from time to time, and I know what I'm looking for. And I'm looking for syndicators that have been to the finish line, they've performed, and they've made their partners money, and they didn't come to them with their hat in their hand when things got a little dicey. And there are still some syndicators out there that have the ability to step up and cover some deficits. In fact, I'm invested in a transaction right now where the syndicator is a true businessman. He's been in business before, not just in apartment buildings, raising money, and he's covering a this is a big project. He's covering a near $200,000 a month deficit for more than a few months now, and those are the kind of people you want to seek out when you invest, and not the kind that act like, oh, well, we didn't realize X or whatever it is when they were doing their due diligence. So anyway, tying everything back up, I've just got a couple minutes here. Check out the real estate private partnership syndication arena. You can go to some free case studies. There's a couple of platforms in town. Be happy to give you that info if you connect with me. And I'm not endorsing them. I'm simply giving you a way to get your feet wet to listen and hear, and you'll have to overlook half of it because it's hot air, it sells huff, etc. But you will begin to understand the possibilities. And then if you decide to move forward, consider working with someone like us that isn't selling investments. We're simply helping you understand. Think of it as a coaching role on what you're signing up for. And then if you have pre-tax retirement money, let's consider converting some of that to Roth. Pay the tax at what are absolutely the lowest tax rates in most of our lifetimes. Never been lower. And think of it as a sell on the tax rate brackets. And you're not going to see them lower again, I'm convinced, in our lifetime. So take advantage of that before they start going back up here in a couple years or 3 years. And let's get your funds over to Roth. Let's sidestep a bunch of tax and let you enjoy what has historically been above average rates of return. And again, watch for that Fed report. I believe, again, it's the San Francisco office that I'm going to upload to our site sometime here, hopefully before Sunday show. If not, I'll do it certainly before next Friday show. And by the way, I guess for those of you that know what extensions are, you realize that Monday is the last day to file a 2022 Form 1040, quote, timely, assuming you extended. Timely can be defined a couple different ways. I won't go into that, but my associate, Mr. Dan DuBose, decided to stay working on tax returns this week. I've got to get back to a few. And again, for those of you that are interested in having us take a look at what your reporter is doing for you, go fill out step one on our baplanner.com website, and we'll be happy to take a look at that. Excuse me. We'll be happy to take a look at that and help you understand how we might be of help to you in terms of keeping more of that money in your pocket, or better yet, giving you extra capital to put in to your investments. Let's see, did I leave anything out on my summary? Roth conversion was kind of the end. Oh, I didn't mention that when we do Roth conversions with private company investments like these syndications, we get some pretty significant discounts on the value that we have to pay tax on versus you undertaking a Roth conversion when your funds are sitting at a brokerage account like Schwab, Fidelity, or whatever. With private company investments, we get to discount to the fair market value, which is not a stock exchange. I mean, we don't have any exchanges we can go sell these investments on. In fact, you can't sell it until the syndicator decides that they're ready to sell the properties. Typically, you really don't get much of a say in most cases. Okay, well, I hear the end of the show. I hear the music, and I've enjoyed it once again. I hope you did, and I hope you'll tune in Sunday, 7 a.m., right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.